Greetings from the voice of Allan Kardec.
And welcome from the voice of the spirits.
We are here again today to take you on another small journey through the Spirits book by Allan Kardec. Today we will complete prayer and then cover polytheism, questions 664 to 668.
Enjoy.
Question 664. Is it any use praying for the dead and for suffering spirits? And if so, how can our prayers provide them consolation and shorten their sufferings? Do our prayers have the power to appease the justice of God?
Prayer has no effect in changing God's designs, but the soul for whom you pray experiences relief because it witnesses the interest you show in it, and because an unhappy soul is always consoled when it encounters other charitable souls who share in its suffering. Moreover, through prayer you may incite it to repentance and the desire to do what is needed to become happy. It is in this sense that you can shorten its affliction if, on its part, it contributes with its own goodwill. Aroused by prayer, such a desire to improve attracts to the suffering spirit other spirits, who come to enlighten, console, and give it hope. Jesus prayed for the straying sheep. In doing so, he showed you that you are culpable if you do not pray for those who are the most in need.
Question 665. What is to be thought of the opinion that rejects praying for the dead because it is not prescribed in the Gospels?
Christ said to all humankind, "Love one another." This recommendation implies using all possible means to demonstrate love towards others, but without going into any details regarding the way to reach this goal. If it is true that nothing can turn God aside from applying divine justice to every one of a spirit's actions, it is no less true that the prayer you direct to God on behalf of those who inspire your love is for them a testimony of remembrance that consoles them and contributes towards relieving their sufferings. They can be helped when, and only when, they show the slightest repentance, but it will nevertheless cause them never to forget that a sympathetic soul has been concerned about them. It will instill in them the sweet belief that your intercession has been useful. This necessarily results, on their part, in a sentiment of love for the one who has shown this proof of friendship and piety. Consequently, the love recommended to humankind by Christ has increased between them, and both have obeyed the law of love and union of all beings, the divine law that must lead to unity, the Spirit's objective and purpose.
Footnote to question 665. This reply was given by the spirit of M. Murnaut, the Protestant pastor of Paris, who died in 1856. The preceding reply to question 664 was given by the spirit of St. Louis. Question 666. May we pray to spirits?
You may pray to good spirits since they are the messengers of God and the executors of the divine designs. Their power, however, is in proportion to their degree of evolution and always derives from the Creator of all things, without whose permission nothing is done. For this reason, the prayers that we address to them are only effective if pleasing to God.
Question 667. If it is erroneous, why is polytheism one of the most ancient and widespread beliefs?
The idea of a single God could only appear among humans as the result of the development of their minds, incapable in their ignorance of conceiving of an immaterial being without a determined form, and who acted upon matter, they endowed God with the attributes of the corporeal nature, that is, a form and a figure. From then on, everything that seemed to surpass the proportions of ordinary intelligence became a deity to them. Whatever they could not understand had to be the work of a supernatural power, and it was no more than a small step from that to believing in as many distinct powers as there were effects. Nonetheless, in all ages there have been enlightened individuals who have understood the impossibility of such a multitude of powers for governing the world without some higher direction over them all, and who, consequently, lifted up their thought to a single God.
Question 668. Since spirit phenomena have been produced throughout time and have been known about since the world began, couldn't they have contributed to the belief in the plurality of gods?
Of course, because humans labeled as God everything that was suprahuman. Thus, the spirits were gods to them. Also, that is why that whenever individuals distinguished themselves among others by their actions, their genius or a secret power that the common folk could not comprehend, they were made into a god and worshipped after death.
Refer to question number 603. Author's remarks for question 668. Among the ancients, the word God had a wide range of meanings. It was not, as nowadays, a personification of the author of nature, but was a generic label attached to all beings that did not belong to the human condition. Moreover, since spirit manifestations revealed to the ancients the existence of incorporeal beings acting as powers of nature, they called them gods, just as we call them spirits. It is a mere question of words, but with the difference that in their ignorance, intentionally maintained by those who had an interest in doing so, they built lucrative temples and altars, whereas for us, spirits are merely creatures similar to us at differing degrees of perfection and who have shed their earthly envelope. If we carefully study the various attributes of the pagan deities, we can easily recognize all those who characterize the spirits at every degree of the spirit scale: their physical state on more highly evolved worlds, all the properties of their perispirit, and the role they perform concerning earthly things. When Christianity came to enlighten the world with its divine light, it could not destroy a thing that was in nature itself. Instead, it redirected worship towards the one to whom it really belonged. As for the spirits, their remembrance has been perpetuated under various names and according to various cultures. Their manifestations have never ceased and have been diversely interpreted and frequently exploited under the influence of mystery. While religion has regarded spirit manifestations as miraculous phenomena, disbelievers have taken them as charlatanism. Now, however, thanks to a more serious study that has been conducted in the full light of day, spiritism has been freed from the superstitious ideas that had obscured it down through time, and has revealed to us one of the greatest and most sublime principles of nature,